Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q3 FY21 earnings conference call of Precon Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Vikram Mohan, Managing Director of Precon Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
A very good evening to all of you who have joined our call today to discuss our third-quarter results. Joining me are also our Director of Finance, Mr. Jay Sridhar, our Chief Marketing Officer, Mr. Ganesh, and our Director of Strategy, Siddharth. We'd like to take you through a small presentation on our performance that has been uploaded on the website, and I hope all of you had a chance to go through it. I'll take about 10 minutes to give you a synopsis of our performance this quarter and the year so far. In the quarter ended 31st December 2020, on a sequential quarter-to-quarter basis between the same quarter in 2020 and this quarter in 2021, we've had a growth of 62% in revenue, seeing a total revenue this quarter of 454.82 crores. We had an EBITDA of 15% this quarter versus an EBITDA of 6.2% the same time last year in 2019. The main reason for this increase in EBITDA is stringent cost control, process reorganization, and a host of new products that have got introduced. In fact, revenue for this year, nearly 40%, comes from new product revenue, a lot of new programs with good profitability that has been won by the company. We have had a cash profit of 54.75 crores this quarter in Q3 versus 9.38 crores in 2019. We've had a free cash flow after our CapEx. We've had a free cash flow of 47.65 crores this quarter versus a negative free cash flow of 4.7 crores in the quarter ending in 2019. For the year so far, we have had a cash profit of in the three quarters, we've had a cash profit of 91 crores, CapEx of about 19 crores, and we have free cash flow after CapEx for the year so far of three quarters of about 72 crores. Our total revenue for the year so far, for the three quarters consolidated, is about 973.7 crores. This is for the three quarters ending December 2020. On a consolidated basis, our EBITDA for this quarter is 15.83% on a consolidated basis for the company for the quarter ending 31st December 2020. In terms of sales, industry versus our company on a quarter-to-quarter comparison between October to December 2019 versus October to December 2020, the two and three-wheeler segment has grown by 14.9% the industry. We have grown by 56%. This is again because of a lot of new product introductions and also value of certain products going up, the replacement models, the value going up. Four-wheelers, the industry has grown at 19.65%. Your company has grown at 85.7%. This is because we have made a comeback in four-wheelers after our non-compete with Denso and Visteon after our exit from the JVs. We are starting from a low base, and this is going to see a lot more growth in the years to come and the quarters to come. Commercial vehicles, the industry grew at 12.05%. Your company grew at 153.59%. The reason again being, we have won a lot of new business, and this is the result of that. Off-road vehicles, we have pretty much 100% market share in the off-road vehicles in India. The industry grew at 32.76%. We have grown at 44.30% because of certain upgradation of certain models leading to higher revenue realization. Tractors, the industry has grown at 26.60%, and the company has grown at 50.10%. Overall, on a quarter-to-quarter basis comparison, industry has grown at 16.06%, whereas Ecol has grown at 62.12%. Thank you very much. We'd be happy to take questions. We'd ask each of the participants in the call to ask one question and then move to the next participant. Once all participants have exhausted their questions, we will come back to everyone for a round of second and third questions. Request everyone to follow this protocol. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handset mode while asking a question. We would also request participants to limit your question to one at a time. Should you have a follow-up question, we would request you to rejoin the queue. Thank you. Anyone who would like to ask a question, please press star and one at this time. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Abhishek Kapoor, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. Congratulations on exceptionally very good quarter. My question is, we used to have vision in our earlier presentation. What is our vision for next three years or five years, 2025?
Thank you for your question, sir. We have put together a strategy and technology committee in the company, headed by Mr. Naveen Paul, who's our independent director, who has joined our board recently. This team is working on the roadmap for 2025, especially when EV vehicles are going to penetrate the market. This committee will be presenting this strategy and technology report to the board in September 2021, after which I would be happy to discuss this once it's put in place. Along with investments and what we intend to do, et cetera, I'd be happy to take up after that. Until then, we are looking at multiple new product lines. We are looking at technology partners, but it's early stages right now. Again, thanks to the pandemic, travel has been restricted and our people have not been able to travel out overseas and vice versa, potential partners traveling in to visit us. It is delayed. We were hoping to have this completed by March of 2021, but thanks to the pandemic, we have pushed it by two quarters, and this will be tabled before the board by September 2021. In terms of capacities, we have created adequate capacities in the company to take us through for the next 2.5-3 years, and we will be very capex light for the next 2.5-3 year period. So at the current rate of cash generation, the company would be in good shape in the coming quarters.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rajesh Agarwal from Money Ore Investment Advisors. Please go ahead.
So my question is, are we done with all the rights write-off? Any write-off still pending or any subsidiary write-off still pending? And what is the status of raw metal prices which has gone up, availability of semiconductor and all? And can this profitability be sustained going forward?
All write-offs are completed. All non-performing subsidiaries are sold. We only have two subsidiaries, the wiping business in India, which is being merged into the company. And we have the operations in Indonesia, which is growing, and we have one new business. All the subsidiaries are value accruing and not value depleting, as you would have seen from the consolidated results as well. That's the first part of the question. You have a very interesting second part of the question. Yes, I think you have a very, very valid point, Mr. Agarwal. There are two things. One, there is an acute shortage of electronic components, semiconductors, ICs, LCDs. There is a global shortage. In fact, the lead times have increased to as high as 9 months. So the industry per se is going to suffer quite badly, even if not because of recall, because of various other suppliers. I definitely think, I have been talking to the heads of various OEMs over the past 2 weeks, and it is quite unpredictable. And we definitely think that there will be some loss of production at the OEM end because of shortage of electronics, and we are already seeing that happen. We are also anticipating some loss of sales because of non-availability of raw material. We have planned for some sales moderation based on this. And also, the bigger cause of concern is the steep cost escalation and premium pricing that has to be paid to commandeer certain raw material. I am again using the word commandeer raw material because that is what many of us are doing because of limited raw material in the market. We are trying our best to pass on some of those costs to our customers, but this will have an impact on earnings. We have done some simulations at the worst case, what is our sales going to be and what is our EBITDA quality going to be. Do not worry, we will not dip into the single digit EBITDA regime, but EBITDA will have an impact, and we will be in the very low double digit worst case if the industry suffers and we suffer and we are not able to pass on these costs to our customers.
And sir, what is the debt currently now? Net and gross.
Mr. Agarwal, can I just request you to come back on the next round of questions? I will be able to answer this question though, since you've asked it, but request everyone to stick to one question and then come back so that everyone has a chance to ask questions. The current debt is about 270 crores and the long term and the working capital currently is about
80 crores
is what we have drawn, so we are at around 350 crores. But we are steadily paring down the debt. You would see significant debt reduction in the next 2 quarters because we are generating a fair bit of free cash and we have very little planned capex. So there will be significant debt reduction in the next couple of quarters.
Okay, sir. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Request participants to please submit your question to one at a time. The next question is from the line of Anubhav Mukherjee, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Sir, can you please give some more color on what has driven the much higher than industry growth for us in this quarter? In fact, in the past 2 quarters. So, some more details will be very useful.
I would like for our Chief Marketing Officer, Mr. Ganesh, to take this question, because I think he and his team should be given a lot of credit for this growth. So I'd like to give him the privilege of answering this question.
Okay, I will go to the slide where
where the two and the three-wheeler, if you see, has grown by 14.9, where our biggest sale is coming from, and we have grown by 56.02. The reason being is, there has been a conversion of some of the existing instrument clusters, whatever we have been doing. As you are aware that there has been an emission change from the BS4 to BS6, which has given us an opportunity to upgrade our instrument cluster into the next generation of instrument cluster. Thereby, there is a big value addition. That is the reason why the selling price of those instrument clusters, because of the value addition, has gone up. This is one of the reasons. Second is, we have introduced some new range of products for the BS6, like the fuel pump module and certain sensors, which are mandatory for the BS6 regulation. And that is also the reason why our sales have gone up much more than the industry. This is common across all segments of the market. And the commercial vehicle, wherever you are seeing 12.05, the industry, as against 153.59%, is a very significant growth, as you can see. We have entered into all the big commercial vehicle manufacturers on the instrument cluster with the next generation of technology, and a lot of value addition has been done to meet the BS6, and that is the reason you find a significant growth in our wallet share.
Yes, I'll be back.
Taken away a lot of business from competition, and we have also improved the profitability of the business by some downsizing and a lot of tightening the belt and trimming the fat, for want of a better word, to improve the margins.
Get that. And for this, the value addition and increase in like realization of these new products, this is something obviously sustainable and will continue in the coming quarters.
Yes, because whatever we have now developed for the customers are platform products. We call this platform product. All the platform has undergone a major change since April 2020 because of the new regulation. So this is going to continue for a few quarters.
Yes, sir. Thanks. I'll be back in the queue for further questions.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question from the line of Vipul Shah from Sumangal Investments. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Congratulations for a very good set of numbers. My question is, why our contribution for four-wheeler is so low?
Again, I'll probably repeat myself, Mr. Shah. We had a non-compete with Denso and Visteon. If you are aware of the history of the company had joint ventures with Denso and Visteon many years ago, which, you know, were over, and those joint ventures were bought over by Denso and bought over by Visteon. So we had a non-compete for a certain period after the closure of the joint ventures. So we were not present in the four-wheeler sector. We have restarted our business in the four-wheeler sector this year after the non-compete period. And that is what I mentioned. We have won a lot of new businesses. In fact, I am happy to inform you that Tata Motors is doing very well with a lot of new platforms. And at the same time next year, Ficol will be the only supplier to all platforms of Tata Motors, not only their cars, but even their commercial vehicles. We have also made an entry into Peugeot Citroën for the export market as well. So on and so forth, we are increasing our market share in the four-wheeler industry, for which we also had to do a lot of technological upgradation, because car cluster is a lot more complex compared to a two-wheeler cluster or a commercial vehicle cluster. And those heavy investments in technology in the last 3 to 4 years is paying dividends right now.
So may I know what is our product line in four-wheelers, sir?
Instrument cluster.
Instrument cluster mainly. Okay. Thank you. I'll rejoin the queue, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sachin Kasera from Swan Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah, first of all, congratulations to the management for a very good turnaround and cleaning up of the balance sheet in the last 12 months. My question was carryover of what you mentioning regarding the balance sheet, wherein you mentioned that going forward, the focus will be debt reduction and low capex. So if you could give us a little more specifics, as you know, what is the type of capex that will be there in the next 12 months and what is the type of debt reduction that we are looking for?
The capex plan, both in terms of technology upgradation, debottlenecking, tools for new products, productivity improvements, plant upgradation, is about 50 crores. Debt reduction, I will not be able to comment because it's a forward-looking statement because it's dependent on industry sustainability. And as I mentioned to one of the participants earlier, the industry is quite uncertain going forward, both in terms of sales and in terms of margins. Having said that, we have simulated the worst case situation and we are still doing a double-digit EBITDA, thankfully, even with the worst case, the price is surging and not having price recovery. Planned capex is 50 crores. The minimum debt reduction will be 70 crores, if not higher. If things are not as bad as we expect them to be, then we expect significantly higher debt reduction. But the bare minimum debt reduction would be 70 crores. But as the management, we are hoping for far higher numbers and hoping that some semblance of normalcy and price normalcy comes into the industry.
And just one clarification on this debt, this 350 crores number you mentioned, that is standalone, that's a consolidated debt number, sir?
This is consolidated debt.
Okay. Thank you. I'll come back in the queue.
Thank you. Anyone who would like to ask a question, you may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Anubhav Mukherjee, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Sir, what has been the use of the proceeds from the rights issue? Has that been used for any debt reduction or is it still on the balance sheet?
Mr. Mukherjee, we had, as stated in the objective for the rights issue, this was meant for use for working capital. The business of the company had significantly grown and we needed working capital funding, and we did have stretched working capital prior to the rights issue because of the increase in business and the cash flow resulting from the losses in the first quarter of this financial year because of COVID and everything being closed. So the entire amount has been utilized only for working capital, which is why you would notice our working capital limit draw for the current level of sales is much lower than industry average.
Good luck. So do you see any requirement of further fundraise or equity dilution in the near future? Or the internal accruals?
For the next 3 years, we do not anticipate anything, Mr. Mukherjee. As I mentioned, we have done a heavy round of capex a year ago and a year and a half ago. New plants, new capacity, which will take us through for the next 2.5 to 3 years. Once our strategy and technology roadmap is in place, and we are also as a management hoping that with the current level of business, we will be a non-leveraged debt-free company in the next 2 years, then it will give us some leverage on our balance sheet, and always debt is cheaper than equity. But if need be, at that time, if we are going to have a very aggressive growth plan, perhaps we may consider equity, but at this point of time, I do not foresee the need for that.
Thanks, I'll be back in the queue.
Thank you. Anyone who would like to ask a question, you may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Vinod Kothari, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Sir, congrats for good set of numbers. So my question is regarding, do we have any deferred tax assets which could have been utilized to not pay any tax in this quarter? Because I can see profit before tax is 34 crore and profit after tax is 21 crore. So we have paid some tax, right? So I was just wondering whether we have any deferred tax assets given we have made the losses in the past few quarters.
I'll request our Director of Finance, Mr. Sridhar, to take this question.
Sir, do you know that we have not deferred any debt today? The only thing, you know, during the pandemic period, they gave us that moratorium, 6 months. That means only deferred. No other debt has been deferred. During the moratorium of 6 months, what the government gave, the one of the installments only was deferred.
I think Mr. Kothari is alluding to our profit after tax. We have paid tax, so he wants to know, do we have any deferred tax because of the past losses that we can use to reduce tax?
Now, I'll tell you one thing. Say, whatever tax we have calculated earlier this year, there will not be any cash outflow because we have got enough MAT credit available for us to utilize it. We have got more than 55 crores of MAT credit available. So the net cash outflow because of tax will not be there. And deferred tax, as I said, liability will be going on changing, as you know very well. And you know that we have borrowed certain debts for settling the debts in the foreign countries, which interest will not be allowed for the income deduction. That has been added back to the profit. So there may be a slight increase in, as if you look at my tax rate totally, it will be more than what is the government is 33%. It will be around 44%, mainly because of this.
If you look at standalone level also, we have made losses in the past few quarters, right? So, from accounting point of view, those losses cannot be set off against the future profits?
No, no. You are talking about the loss incurred in foreign subsidies. This is a capital loss. It is not a revenue loss.
Okay.
And we have done a diminution in value of investments and written down our net worth, if you notice, when we sold our foreign subsidiaries. It was not operating losses, it was diminution in value of investments and reduction of net worth of the company.
Okay. All right. Clear. Clear, sir. Thanks.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, we would like to remind our participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Vipul Shah from Sumangal Investments. Please go ahead.
Sir, how did we source the technology for this BS6 in this cluster? Was it in-house or we licensed it by paying some fees?
There's absolutely no royalty. We did not get technology from anywhere. In fact, our own shareholders and investors have questioned me, why are we spending 4.8% of our revenue on R&D? So the result of that spent on R&D for 3 years straight is the reward that we are getting now as turnover and EBITDA, and without paying any royalty. And that is giving us an edge over competition because everything has been developed in-house. As a matter of fact, we have 220 R&D engineers in the company and continuing to do a lot of work for product upgradation and next generation products. Out of our total 800 strength of white collar employees, 1/4 is R&D engineers, and that is what is giving us an edge, and it is paying dividends right now.
Okay, sir. Thank you. Again, join.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Karthik Radhakrishnan, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening. So my question is regarding the O2 sensor development that there was a JV with Credia Technologies. Do we have any update on that?
In all likelihood, we are not going ahead with that program, Mr. Radhakrishnan, because as you know, the company works on multiple new projects and not all projects are equally successful. So some of them have seen great success, some of them moderate success, and the O2 sensor is a program that we have not been able to make a breakthrough. So we are not going to be pursuing that program going forward.
Okay, thanks. Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ramanathan, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Sir, good afternoon, sir. I would like to know our company's advantage as far as the speed governors are concerned. I hope we are one of the very few AAA accredited manufacturers.
See, the speed governor is not relevant anymore, Mr. Ramanathan, because with BS6, the Speed governing has become part of the ECU itself. So the speed governor as a product is not relevant anymore with the change in technology. So whatever few speed governors we sell is in the aftermarket for the older vehicles.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rajesh Agarwal from Money or Investment Advisors. Please go ahead.
Sir, when you feel the semiconductor issue may get sorted out, by what time?
It's anyone's guess, but industry experts tell us that it's probably going to be September by the time some normalcy comes back to industry. And I'm only hoping it's sooner rather than later, because increased sales, increased profitability for all of us, overall larger, the demand is there for the vehicles, but vehicle makers are not able to produce enough. And the shortage is affecting vehicle makers globally. We have been told it is September and we are only hoping it's going to be sooner.
What was the reason for it happening, sir? What was the reason? COVID was the reason or anything else?
Consumption in the consumer market has gone up for phones, fridges, etc. And it is the same factories that are producing for that. And for the biggest reason has been the number of laptops and iPads being bought because of work from home due to the pandemic. That has increased the semiconductors. So actually, in terms of volume of consumption of these ICs, the automotive industry consumes much lower compared to the IT industry or compared to the consumer durable industry. So the preference is given to them over the automotive industry.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Priyam Chedda from Standard Chartered Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi sir, thank you for the opportunity. So I just like to know with respect to the products, since we are present in multiple segments of autos, four wheelers, three wheelers, which are the key products, what is their contribution to our total revenues that we likely to focus going ahead? And if we come up with a new products, which are a few of the products that you would like to highlight us, which would make a significant contribution going ahead?
The products, primarily we are instruments and sensors and oil pumps, fuel pumps, water pumps. Those are the two product segments. I mean, instruments, sensors, and the sensors is a managed segment to the instruments. Today about 60% comes from the instruments and sensors and about 40% from the fuel pump module, oil pumps and water pumps. So going forward will be the same, but slowly after 2025 the two-wheeler oil pumps and water pumps will start reducing, and which is where a new set of products which we will be launching for EV relevant products, which we will announce shortly, on which our team is working on the technology right now.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Divyesh Saha from Julius Securities. Please go ahead.
Sir, can you give the breakup between the cluster sensor and fuel pump and oil pump? What kind of revenue we have generated from all this for this quarter and 9 months?
I just mentioned that, Mr. Saha, that about 60% comes from instruments and sensors and the pumps. Fuel pump, oil pump and water pump contributes about 40%.
How was last year, sir?
Pardon me?
As compared to this year, how it was last year? Because fuel pump module is something...
It was a little higher because we didn't have the fuel pump module as a new vertical. So the instruments has reduced as a part of the pie, and the fuel pump has increased the by value in the pie. But having said that, the value per instrument cluster has also gone up very significantly this year. That is why from about 67% of the revenue, instrument clusters has come to about 59-60%, because the value has gone up, whereas the fuel pump module has increased the revenue of the pump. Also, one product has become obsolete in the pumps, or becoming obsolete in the pumps and mechanical products, which is the chain tensioner. So that is also reducing. Auto fuel cock is redundant. The idle speed control valve is redundant. So these are all revenues that have disappeared in BS6 out of our pumps and mechanical product category, which has got replaced by the fuel pump module.
Can you tell us the profitability? Is the margin in both the business the same?
Every customer, every product segment is different. You know, to capture markets, we take certain margins. You know, the same product with two different customers have two different margins. But overall, the margins for the mechanical products are slightly lower than the electronic products because they are a little bit more commoditized, A. But with the price pressure on electronics and the premium pricing on ICs, this quarter will see some price pressure on the electronic products because of the price of ICs.
Thank you. I'll come on queue.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ajay Borke, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir, and thank you for the opportunity to ask questions. First and foremost, congratulations on posting a commendable performance and for a turnaround in the company's operations. You mentioned in the course of the presentation about the increase in market share that we have achieved vis-a-vis the industry growth. Going forward in the next financial year, by 21-22, what is the kind of growth in revenues that the company is penciling in? And insofar as EBITDA margins are concerned, what's the range that one should be looking at for the next financial year? Thank you very much, sir.
Mr. Borke, in terms of growth, obviously it will not have this level of growth. If we continue to grow at this level, I'll be the happiest person, but I know it's going to be very difficult to put that sort of pressure on my marketing team. This is because of a host of new product introductions and market share gaining that we've been able to achieve these sort of high growth figures. We would be still growing at about 20% comfortably with the new programs that we have, which is much higher than market growth. Or a little over 20%, we would be able to have healthy double-digit margins in the team if not for the shortage of the raw materials and unpredictability. We don't know how much of sales will be lost and how much of premium we have to pay for our raw materials. Nevertheless, we will not come to a single-digit figure, but it's not going to be higher than what we have seen in this quarter. Because some benefits that have been there in this quarter, there have been no salary increases, etc. this year on account of the COVID. But with the industry picking up, you know, we are looking at salary increases, etc. in April for the blue collar and white collar and for some talent retention, which will have a cost impact. Part of it will be offset by productivity increases. So the EBITDA will definitely not be higher than what we have seen this quarter, but will also not go into the single digits. It will remain marginally lower than what we have seen this quarter if normalcy prevails, or it will go to the low double digits if there is going to be loss of sales due to the shortage and abnormal spikes in the raw material. This is what we foresee from our intelligence and simulations done as a company.
Thank you very much, sir, and wishing you all the best.
Thank you very much. Okay.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vipul Shah from Sumangal Investment. Please go ahead.
So what is our contribution from EV segment at present?
Very negligible, Mr. Shah, because EV per se has not yet kicked in. We have developed a whole host of clusters even for all the majors for EV, but I don't think in the next 2 years there will be any significant contribution. But from 2023, I think it's really the revenues are going to start kicking in. So we are EV ready with our product verticals as we speak.
So means 5 years down the line, can we assume that more than 30-40% of our revenue should be coming from EV segment? Are we ready for that eventuality, sir?
We are ready. We are, like I said, we are EV ready for our electric clusters. It's proven, it's gone into working mode. Whether it's going to be 35, 30, 45, anyone's guess, government's legislation, because there's a lot of infrastructure that needs to be put into place. There's a lot of legislation that needs to be made for EV vehicles. You know, overnight about 16, 17 EV vehicles makers have popped up. Can they replicate the network of the TVS and the Bajaj and the Heroes with thousands of showrooms, service centers across the country? This is all a question. And the current OEMs are not sitting quiet. They are also developing their EV vehicles, and all of them are developing the clusters for those EV vehicles with us. All we can say is we are in a segment that is not going to be disrupted by EV, and we are EV ready with our products in this company. Unlike a company that's into engine products, we are into instrument clusters primarily, and instrument clusters, whatever be the propulsion, a vehicle needs an instrument cluster. Only thing, instead of amount of fuel, it is now going to tell you the amount of battery charge you have. Many other parameters remain the same. So we are ready from that sense, and product ready also.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question at this time. The next question is from the line of Ajay Bhotke, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
So you had mentioned during the course of one of the replies that some of our debt is denominated in foreign exchange. So of the total debt of 270 crores, I'm leaving aside the working capital, 80 crores, how much is the domestic debt and how much is the debt denominated in foreign exchange, and what are the rates that we pay? Thank you, sir.
Our entire debt is domestic debt. We don't have any foreign debt, Mr. Bhotke. And hopefully with better and better performance going forward, our rating should get better and our debt cost should come down. The highest cost debt that we have right now is an NBFC debt, which will be settled in the next two quarters once the lock-in period for that debt is over, because we are generating more than sufficient cash to pay off that debt.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, we would like to remind our participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Ayappan Thulappan, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Good evening, all. I have a question regarding auto sensor. It was told that auto sensor prototype was doing well with KHEM. On comparing with competitor sensors. So is there any possibilities in future, will it be added?
No, Mr. Ayappan. Like I mentioned to an earlier participant on this call, we worked on multiple technologies, multiple things. You know, that's how a company cannot just bet on one product. So we did bet on O2 was one of them, which, you know, with KHEM we did a lot of testing and other things, but obviously we were, you know, it was not cutting the chase. So we have decided not to further invest money onto that product. And the O2 sensor is only relevant as long as an internal combustion engine is there in a vehicle. With the whole vehicle industry, and especially the two-wheeler, and we were specifically developing the O2 sensor for the two-wheeler industry. With the two-wheeler industry fast moving towards the EV segment, this product also in a few years will be not relevant. We were hoping to ride the wave like we are riding with the fuel pump module right now. So that's a program that we have consciously taken a decision to not further invest money in and stop work on.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vipul Shah from Sumangal Investments. Please go ahead.
No, all of my questions have been answered. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Manish Vasta from Amala Management. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks a lot for the opportunity to ask this. I just wanted to understand, would it be possible to share, you know, the revenue breakup between cluster sensors and pumps? And two, like in commercial vehicles, you are gaining very significant market share. Any indication on where would you be in terms of market share, like, say, last year this time and now? And where do you see that going?
Marketing Ganesh to answer that question. But before he answers that question, I did answer earlier. Instruments and sensors is a marriage segment, so that's about 60% of the revenue. Pumps is about 40%. And last year, instruments was more 67 and pumps were about 33. But in the pumps, chain tensioner has started coming down, auto fuel cost and ISCB is not relevant anymore, and fuel pump module has kicked in. So fuel pump module has also replaced part of the revenue that has gone out. And in the instrument sensors, though the fuel pump module by value is high, instrument sensors also we have upgraded. Instruments primarily, what was an electromechanical cluster has gone into an electronic cluster, or what was an ordinary electronic cluster has gone into a DFT cluster. So the value per cluster has gone up. So it's broadly 60-40 is the split. I think I answered it twice earlier on the market share, on the split between the segments. With regard to the market share, I will let Mr. Ganesh, our head of marketing, take that question.
Good evening. On the commercial vehicle, I will classify into three categories. One is the micro LCVs, where today we are having 100% market share on the instruments. Then I will go to the mid-range of vehicles, which is the LCVs, where we have about 80% market share after this transformation from BS4 to BS6. On the medium and heavy commercial vehicles, we are having about 80% market share. That is the reason why you find that there is a huge spike in our growth on the commercial vehicle segment.
Thank you, Lord, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vipul Shah from Sumangal Investment. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. One small question. What is our average borrowing cost, sir?
It's about, say, once the NBFC investment is going to be pared down, it will then come into a single-digit figure. But now it's about 11%. But I'm expecting after June for that to drop to about 9%.
So right now our average cost of borrowing is 11%?
11%.
And it will drop to around 9% post-June?
It will actually drop even below 9%, Mr. Shah. I'm also hoping the Director of Finance and I are hoping that our rating will also improve with a couple of more quarters of sustained performance, which will also bring down the overall cost of debt. And also our debt levels are steadily going to come down also, which will help.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone who would like to ask a question, you may press star and one. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question at this time. A reminder to all the participants, if you wish to ask a question, you may press star and one. As there are no further questions from the participants, I now hand the conference over to Mr. Vikram Mohan for closing comments.
Thank you very much for participating in this analyst call. I hope my team and I have been able to answer all your questions to your satisfaction. We will reconvene again after we have the results for the fourth quarter, which will be in the month of May. Thank you very much. Have a good evening.
Thank you. On behalf of Recall Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.